Welcome to episode 40 of the Groups Matter podcast. I am Brian Daniel, and as always, here with Chris Surratt.
Whoa, what's up?
Chris, we've got Eric Geiger here with us this week, author, leader, Bible study writer, and president of Lifeway Resources Division.
All-around incredible leadership guru. Eric received his doctorate in leadership and church ministry from Southern Seminary. He's also authored and co-authored several books, including, I think, one of the best ministry books of all time. It changed the way I looked at ministry. It's called Simple Church.
Simple Church.
That he wrote with Dr. Tom Rainer. And, man, just an amazing book. But he also serves, and this is cool, as the senior pastor of Clearview Baptist Church in Franklin, Tennessee. So he not only is the vice president of the resources division at Lifeway, but he's also actively in ministry on a church staff as a senior pastor, which just makes me dizzy to think about the fact that he does all that. But also has a family. He's married to Kay, and they have two daughters. And he does some amazing things. So I can't wait to talk to Eric.
By reputation, he is apparently a decent basketball player. We might need to ask him about that.
I've played with him a couple times, and the guy can shoot. He's good.
And always a dad of daughters. Welcome on the show. It's always good to get one of those guys.
I'm one of those, so yep.
Me too. So happy to have Eric. I think I've said it before and probably will say it again. He is one of the best communicators I've ever heard. If you ever get a chance to go listen to Eric, he gets around. He's in churches from time to time. You can catch him on Facebook Live and other places and follow him on Twitter and read his leadership blog. But we have Eric on the phone, and so let's get started.
Well, hey, Eric, thanks for taking the time to join us today and be a part of this podcast.
Guys, I appreciate you inviting me to join. Glad to be a part.
Well, you are a leadership guru. I mean, even before I came to Lifeway, I read everything you wrote and listened to your messages. And then you know what it is about leadership and developing leaders. And so I specifically, you know, as you look at the church, when it comes to developing small group leaders, where do you see the churches miss it?
Yeah, man, that's a good question. And you guys were kind enough to send me the questions ahead of time, which gave me some time to really think on this one and process it, because I don't want to just spit out a whole bunch of random things. So I kind of have written down basically the one issue I would say that I think churches can tend to miss it, and that then can easily be corrected. And that is not giving clarity on what you're looking for in a group leader. So if people don't know what you're asking them to do, then you also don't know what you're training them to do. There can quickly be a lack of what it really even means to be a group leader at XYZ church. And so let me illustrate on a common thing that I see happen when it comes to group ministry in a local church. As a church grows, or even if a church is just a couple hundred people, at this point, a church realizes there's no way the pastor, senior pastor, pastoral staff is going to be able to meet the need of every single person in the church. And so they start to make these really great statements like, hey, if you really want to be cared for, you should be in a group, which is true, and it's an awesome statement. I say that often. However, sometimes that same church makes the statement, hey, being a group leader here is really, really easy. All you have to be able to do is make coffee and press play. Well, but both of those statements can be true, but they both can't be true at the same time. Because if you're going to make groups only about facilitating, then you're really over-promising if you're saying, get in a group and you'll be really, really well cared for, because all you're asking the group leaders to do is facilitate and not care. And so you just got to wrestle with, okay, what do we really want our groups to accomplish? And then now we need to reverse engineer into that what kind of group leaders we need. And so if we're going to make groups the way you're cared for, the way you're shepherded, then we really have to make group leaders more than just facilitators. If we're going to make group leaders facilitators, then we have to under-promise what the group experiences is going to provide. And so we just need to be sure, I think, to match that expectation And that's that is often where I see churches missing when it comes to developing group leaders, because they're unclear on what their groups are going to accomplish.
That's something we spent a lot of time on the show actually talking about, is that leadership bar. Eric, this is Brian. Thanks for being with us on
Groups Yeah,
Matter. So I've got to be honest, and when Facebook Lives come across my feed, I don't always click them. But,
dude, you're too busy doing your sports podcast. And I want to know, why haven't you invited me to be on your sports podcast? Why do you only want me on your groups podcast?
We gave it up. Plus, it's pretty much football only, and you're more of a basketball type, right?
So you're no longer doing the sports podcast?
Yeah, it's a longer story, but, you know, I know.
Sorry, man.
It's a heartbreaker. But,
it is.
But what I was going to say is, when your Facebook Lives come through, always click on them. They are really good, Eric. So one of your recent ones was about credibility. And specifically that it takes a sustained period of time to gain credibility, but it can be lost very quickly. And you gave five elements that can hurt credibility. So the Facebook Live post itself was more at the larger context, but I was wondering how you might apply that to small group leadership. And you may just talk us through that Facebook Live and just notions of credibility.
Yeah, well, you can't lead or communicate without credibility. So credibility, there's been multiple research projects done over the years that it's really the number one quality that's essential in a leader, because if you lack credibility, people won't listen and they won't follow. In fact, the more that they trust you, the quicker execution can happen, the quicker following can happen, because they really believe you that you're moving in the right direction, and that you care for them and that you want what's best for them. And so that the higher the credibility, the higher the potential effectiveness is. And so if a group leader lacks credibility, then the group is going to be isn't going to be healthy. The more credible the group leader is, the more likely the group can be healthy. And so when you look at what it means for a group leader to be credible, several of the things I shared are also true. The group leader has to love the people in the group. And so if people in a group look at their group leader and they're like, man, this guy or this girl is just filling a spot, and you know, is just barreling through a list of questions, and there's no relational investment outside of the group time, over time the people are the leader's not going to have credibility, because the people don't feel loved, you know, they don't feel cared for. If the leader's life doesn't match the teaching, doesn't match the discussion, then the people, it's going to be hard for them to really internalize even the great discussions that take place in the group, because they're going to look at a leader who, and this truth isn't transforming that person. I don't know if it can, is it really going to transform me? And so when a group leader lacks credibility, the group, it's not just the leader that suffers, the group suffers as well.
Yeah, so the ways that you can lose credibility as a group leader aren't that different from any other form of leadership, and that's a lack of humility, a lack of clarity, a lack of love, a lack of moral authority, which you mentioned, and a lack of service.
Yeah.
All those things apply, which I just, when I was listening, I thought, you know, this applies maybe even more acutely and specifically to group leadership. So thank you for sharing that.
Eric, you mentioned this kind of in the first question about having the right expectation for our groups and what we want them to be. But specifically when it comes to the leaders, I think sometimes we don't have the, you know, highest expectations as far as their leadership ability. You know, we're kind of looking at them, they're just kind of opening their home. You know, it's more about community. Do you think that we should expect as much leadership from a small group leader or host as any other ministry position in the church? Do they differ, or should they be the same?
I mean, it's a huge question, and I think it really depends on how you're structuring groups to be. And so I don't want to come off like I came off really strong early, like I'm knocking the facilitate model. I'm saying that's great. Then you just have to be honest with yourself on that's the kind of leader we're going to get, and then we really can't put the whole burden of shepherding on the group. That there's going to be other aspects in our overall church life that's going to provide some shepherding. If you are putting a lot of shepherding burden on the group experience, then I think, Chris, you have to have a high level of expectation for the group leader, at like you would in other leadership roles in the church. And so if there's a low expectation on the group leader, let me give a scenario where you may want to do that. So say a church experiences just this really radical, explosive growth in weekend worship services, and they don't have a ton of leaders right now. They may look and say, gosh, at this point, we just need to get people connected, and we're going to look for facilitators. And while we're doing that, we're simultaneously going to ramp up our leadership pipeline. So in the future, we can make groups more shepherding. But in the meantime, we just need to get people connected. Then I get it. Then you just understand that trade-off decision. And you would just say, hey, for this season, we're looking for facilitators. But then you don't overpromise to the church, hey, get in a group and everything, your whole spiritual life's taken care of. Because it wouldn't match the level of leader that you're recruiting. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So do you worry as a senior pastor, because you sit in that role now, that if you don't have the right amount of training or leadership development with your leaders, that those groups could do damage to the church as a whole?
I worry that we could have groups that aren't healthy. We could have groups that aren't focused on Christ and his mission. Absolutely. But I worry more about not having groups, and so there's, I would much rather have groups and be concerned and passionate about the health of those groups than I would if there were no groups and I'm thinking, how on earth are we shepherding all these people? That's good.
Okay. So Eric, Designed to Lead, you co-wrote with Kevin Peck, released last year. I think it was late last year, 2016. One of the fresher insights of that book I remember reading is this notion that developing leaders is discipleship. It comes out early in the book. So the question is, how can a leadership pipeline help churches get leaders up and running without moving too fast? And so the question is really about the leadership pipeline component of Designed to Lead.
Yeah, so developing a leadership pipeline can sound, like it's this huge, huge thing. Like, oh my goodness, that sounds so, so complicated, and we're gonna need to take 2 years to whiteboard it. It's really not as complicated as it can sound. And so, you really just say, okay, what kind of leader do we want to develop, and then what are the So basically, what competencies or what qualities do we believe leaders in our church, and then therefore leaders also that will serve outside our church really well, what competencies or qualities do we want in them, and then how are we going to train? How are we going to train those, and then simultaneously, what levels of leadership do we have already in our church? So somebody just is an attender, okay? Then they move to being a greeter, then they oversee a team of greeters, then they're or they're a group leader, and then they oversee, they're a coach over multiple groups, and then they move to being a director over coaches. And so what are the, every church, they may not have it written down yet, but they really do already have different layers of leadership. And so what, how do those competencies that you said we look for, how do they start to manifest itself in different layers of leadership, and how do you train people along the way? And so, I know I just threw out a lot of things, and all of a sudden it does sound more complicated than just, hey, let's develop leaders. But it really is. It's similar to this. Like, I coached my little girl's soccer team this year, and I had never coached soccer. And so I read some books before I did, like Coaching Soccer for Dummies and Soccer Drills for 5, 6, and 7-year-old girls. And they all said, hey, don't go to practice without knowing what you're going to teach. One or two skills and build drill around the skills you're going to go after. Try to teach dribbling, shoot, pass-ins, defense all the same day. Choose one or two skills and then build drills to go after those one or two skills. And so that basically that's the same thing, right? What do we look for? What do we want in leaders? Okay, now how are we going to build some drills that will help leaders become those kinds of people?
Yeah, and this is a way that we can offset perhaps moving too fast in leader development within a church while at the same time getting people up and running and into a pipeline, a path. And so I've heard you describe it as walking us through from volunteer to leader to, you know, a ministry leader to a senior leader, and depending on just how a person develops throughout that pipeline. So yeah, that's a way, because group leadership, volunteer recruiting, a very big part of group ministry, as you know, and this idea is just a way to systematize that. So
yeah, so just take let me try to make it even more practical and as simple as I can. So take discipleship, for example. Say that a leadership team in a church says, okay, we want all of our leaders to be disciple makers. Okay, awesome. All right, so someone who is a volunteer, when it comes to being a disciple maker, you may say, hey, what we're looking for is someone who's a growing disciple. So they read the scripture, they pray, they practice spiritual disciplines. Okay, that's someone who's a volunteer. Okay, now the person moves to being a group leader. All right, so well now we're looking for someone who not only practices personal discipleship, but disciples 6 to 12 people in a group. Okay, now go to the next layer of leadership. So someone moves from being a group leader to being a coach. And so what do we look for in a coach? Well, we look for someone who disciples leaders. Mm-hmm. So a group leader disciples people, a coach disciples leaders. And then, you know, someone moves to a director. What do we look for? Someone who can create systems of discipleship, someone who can teach and shepherd large numbers of people through other leaders. So it basically, as a person moves through the pipeline, they don't stop doing the things they did at the beginning. They don't stop spending time with the Lord and the scripture. They don't stop praying. They just add these other elements of discipleship as they progress through your pipeline, as they mature as a leader in your context.
Eric, I think it seems like we have a tendency, especially in, you know, growing churches, to rush people through that pipeline, that, you know, sometimes we skip steps on the pipeline and, you know, if we see capacity, so we fill that capacity as fast as we can because we need it. And what we end up with are leaders that burn out. I mean, they just, you know, some are slower burns than others, but eventually they burn out. So what are some ways to recognize and kind of navigate that, not only just for, you know, staff, but also volunteers in our church that are kind of moving their way through the pipeline to keep them from burning out?
One of the big things, I think, is to, this would be for regular people in the church, this would be for staff, this would be for leaders, is to really just take a good look at your schedule and be sure that your church schedule isn't experiencing scope creep, you know, where more and more things are added to the calendar, more and more things are added to what it means to do all the things that the church asks you to do. Because that's where I feel like that's where people can get burned out, is sometimes it's not in the ministry of the people in the group. It's to, and all of the extra things that I've got to show up at, that then can actually distract a little bit from the time it takes for me to really invest in people. So one of the things I just say, watch your schedule. That calendar can get things added to it really easily and quickly.
Mm-hmm. Like soccer, for instance.
Yeah, but soccer is, But check it out. If I had things at the church all the time, I wouldn't have been able to coach my kids' little league team and get to know my neighbors, you know?
Right. And balance is such a big part of that. Having those categories in your life, you have to have that balance. I tell people balance is that point on the pendulum that I wave to as I swing back and forth between extremes. That's not good. That's what you shouldn't do. Well, exactly right.
I don't think we're ever perfectly in balance, are we? I mean, the goal is to kind of swing it back, but you know, sometimes I find myself, I'm trying to reach that perfect balance and I never get there, but I don't know that we're really designed to be there.
And be able to name it, to be able to identify it, name it and say, oh, well, this is, I'm out of balance. And then take measures to get yourself, pull yourself back.
Yeah.
Are you trying to name and claim balance, Brian? Is that what you're trying to do?
If it works.
Chris, I'm with you. I think I go through seasons where this thing is a larger part of my life and schedule, and I'm overwhelmed, and then hopefully I'm doing really good leadership development. I'm handing some things off, and then I'll have a bit of a restful season, and then it's cranking up for another heavy run season. And so I think sustainable is what I look for more than the word balance. You know, I'm looking for sustainable ministry, sustainable family life. But we realize that there's, like in our family, the last couple of weeks of December are going to be a lot less hectic than the first couple of weeks of September, you know? And so we can live through the craziness of the first couple of weeks of September. And we can then really enjoy the downtime of the first couple of weeks of December.
That's interesting, because balance is not a good word there, because it suggests a staticness, really. And that's just not true.
That's not how ministry works.
No, it doesn't. It's not right. How life works, period. Unfolded, the story of God. So
yeah.
Bible study released recently, just earlier this month, is available. It was created for men. So we have had Chris Dolberry, Lifeway Men's Specialist, on the show, and Robbie Gowdy's been here. We've talked to him about men's ministry as well, and it's probably come up in other context. But I wanted to ask you about the importance of getting men in small group, in gender-only small groups, and your sense of that. I mean, with the study coming out, just talk a little bit about your vision for that and why men need to be in groups together.
Man, that it's funny, because we don't ask the question that much about women, right? Like, man, why do women need to get together? And the fact that we're asking the question about men shows the struggle. And here's the struggle: us guys, and I'm right there. Man, we are so independent. We're so dang independent, man. We like to attack things on our own. I mean, I grew up incredible family, incredible church, but still grew up with this notion of be a man, be your own man, do it your way, you know, be strong. And so that all of those messages foster a spirit of independence. The struggle is that the Christian faith is completely not independent. We are to be in community with others. We are to be interdependent, have our lives woven together with other people. And so it's really, to be in a group is so countercultural for a guy, but it's so very Christian. It's so very Christian to be in a group. So that's why I think it's really important for guys. And it's sometimes not, it's not necessarily as countercultural for ladies. It's not as countercultural for my wife to be in relationships. It's very countercultural for me, but it's very Christian for both of us, right? To be in a group. And so we need it. I'm in a couples group. Now I'm going to hang out with the dudes, more than just with the, you know, with everybody together. We do some of that too. So I'm in community with guys, guys need to be in a group, whether it's them with a group of men, whether it's them with their wife, and some other couples, but we need it, man. We need to repent continually of our independence.
You gave a talk, Eric, at Lifeway last week, and you talked about isolation, and you were talking in general in that talk, but just isolation is dangerous, and you used the example of David. And man, that hit me hard as a man, because it seems like as men, we fall toward isolation. And I don't know why that is, but we're afraid of being in community with especially other men, whether it shows weakness or whatever that is. But I just thought that was so poignant. Just we can't live in isolation.
Right. I agree, man. For me, it's I have to push away from isolation. I mean, sometimes and sometimes ministry is painful, and I think sometimes this is, I don't know, everyone's got a different personality, but oftentimes I think guys, when things are painful, can run to the secret places. Mm. And then others, like my wife, when she's in pain, man, she wants to run the people. Mm. Oftentimes when I'm in pain, I mean, I want to run away from people. I would rather bury the pain and then talk about the pain. And so I think that's one of the reasons that, man, here's the reality. All of us guys, man, even in our great days, oftentimes we feel like we have not been who we should be. And so that's going to, or we haven't met the goals that we had. We haven't lived up to our own dreams for life. Right. And so there's going to be pain, man. There's going to be pain in all of us, even sometimes when things are going well. And that's going to drive us to, or it's going to tend to drive us to being an isolated guy. And, that's so unhealthy for our soul.
I've called it the fallacy of the caveman before. You know, you hear me and talk about their, and they want their cave room and the man cave, and they put the television in there, and that's where they go to be alone a lot of times.
Yes. Yeah.
That is the last thing you need. When I'm in those kinds of conversations, I say the last thing you need is to be isolated in a room with a television. And
yeah.
In fact, I don't even think that's a good place to be. But Eric, thank you so much for making time today. I know you have a lot going on. We have highlighted a blog post of yours recently. That's ericgeiger.com. And Unfolded is available, as well as Design to Lead, both great. So, Eric, appreciate your being with us this afternoon.
Guys, thanks for having me. I'm honored.
And take care of yourself. Let's do it again.
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Well, there was a lot going on there.
When it comes to leadership with Eric Geiger, there is always a lot. But, I always get something gold out of it. My favorite times at Lifeway is when Eric just gives a talk.
Yeah.
Because, man, I could listen to that guy for hours. He's just amazing.
And you're not just saying that because he happens to be our vice president. He is really one of the greatest communicators I've been around. And there's been a lot. There's been a lot of good ones. It's mm-hmm. not like that makes everybody else bad.
Oh yeah, before I came to Lifeway, I was on staff for a local church, and before he was at Lifeway, I knew of him at Christ Fellowship in Miami, and we were like, man, this guy is amazing. He's doing some incredible things. So he's been this way for a long time.
Well, most of us are familiar with the Aristotelian communication method, the ethos, logos, and pathos. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that hit on all three of those facets of communication. Some maybe two better than or one better than the other ones. But Eric's one of those guys that I think he hits on all of those very well all the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't, there's a natural component to it, but I think there's also a great deal of intention. I mean, he mm-hmm. works hard at that. So
yeah.
It's great to have him on the show. So I guess my takeaway, the new term for me is scope creep. Mm. That was good. That's because that's a good visual, but I think also reality. The back and forth about balance and Eric's correction there about sustainability, I think is nice. I think balance, you're right, I've used that a lot, over the years, and that's not really a good word to describe what you're trying to describe with that, because that, I think the visual there is like there's some permanent location you're trying to get to where you're completely balanced, and that's mm-hmm. just not realistic.
No, in any facet of life, but especially if you're in ministry, I mean, you're going to have seasons where you're running hard, and there are seasons where your church goes through growth, where you're launching groups and you're building curriculum, but there should be seasons of some downtime where you're able to focus more on your family and some things outside of that. And I think we need to keep that in mind with our small group leaders as well. With my system, I always kind of plugged in some downtime during the summer and during the kind of December holiday season, where I said it's okay for groups not to meet every single week, because we all need a little bit of a break so we can kind of swing things back the other way.
So you can follow Eric on Twitter at Eric Geiger. We would recommend anything that he has written, but most recently that is Design to Lead, which he co-wrote with Kevin Peck, the men's Bible study Unfolded, the Story of God, released in January earlier this year. And as I've already referenced, his Facebook Live talks are very good. And, they're usually packed, and they're about 3.5 minutes. So, good content, and it's something that you can watch in a relatively short period of time. So that's going to do it for episode 40. I'm Brian Daniel. This is Chris Surratt. Thanks, Drew Porterfield, for producing the show. And Chris, we've got a sponsor this week, smallgroup.com.
Man, these guys sponsor a lot for us, but they are amazing. And especially if you do
message.
Well, you know, I'm sitting in this room, so. Smallgroup.com, especially if you do message-based studies, check it out. Do a free trial, 2 weeks. Go to smallgroup.com. I love titles that are also websites. Makes it easy. So go there and give it a shot for 14 days.
Thanks for joining us for episode 40 of the Groups Matter podcast. Look forward to being with you again.